Praise God. I'm glad you're here. Amen. What a wonderful time it is for us to come together as a family and just to simply come and say thank you. Amen. We're here just to really offer the Lord thanks for all he's done. And you know, truly, Thanksgiving, it's for the believer anyway, it shouldn't really be a one-time event. Isn't that right? It's our lifestyle. Amen. If we're born again and Jesus is our Lord and Savior, then every day is Thanksgiving. Amen. We have reason to be thankful. And that's really what I want to talk to you about tonight. Before we do that, though, let's just pray. Father, we love you. Lord, as we said, we recognize your goodness and we recognize, Father, how very loved we are by you. And now, Father, as we approach your word tonight, Lord, I pray that as we touch on each scripture tonight, Lord, that our hearts and our lives, Lord, would be changed by the word tonight, that we would not just hear with our physical ears, but Lord, the ears of our heart and the eyes of our heart, that we would hear and see more in you than we ever have before, so that we can say that Lord, this time spent with you, we have left changed and we have left more like you. And Father, it will all be because of your word and because of your spirit. Amen. Amen. So I've got quite a bit of scripture tonight, so I had to say, Cheryl's so faithful and gracious to always do our scriptures. And I said, well, I'm going to be going through a bunch of scriptures, so that's okay. Maybe go ahead and relax so she gets to join us and not be up there. But some of these you may just end up wanting to write down the verse and look at it later. But what was really on my heart, I really wanted to talk about the power of a grateful heart. And, you know, the power of gratitude is unmatched. Amen. I truly believe that if you can find someone who truly has a grateful heart, that person can overcome anything. Yeah, because gratitude empowers you. Gratitude is an empowering force. Amen. Unfortunately, it's not also common in this day and age. You know, I think more and more as I've grown up and continue to grow up, we're all growing up every day, but as I continue to grow up, one of the things that stands out, unfortunately, in the world that we live in this society is just the magnitude of just sheer ungratefulness. It's true. I mean, I don't know if there's ever been a time where it's just so out front, you know, and you just find people that are just not thankful. And thank you is not something that you hear very often. It used to be something that was taught at home, right? It used to be something that your parents taught you. When someone gives you something, you say thank you. I know I was taught that way. If someone does something for you, you say thank you. If they open a door, you say thank you. If they pour water for you, say thank you. But you know, that is something that is just, I'll say it like this. You know, common sense, it should no longer be called that because it's not common sense anymore. Common sense is not common. That we used to call common sense is really uncommon sense, unfortunately, because that's the way that the world is headed. But it should be the exact opposite for those of us in Christ. Amen. John Osteen used to always, I've listened to him and been told how he was known for standing up in the midst and looking out at his huge congregation, and he would always say, "We are a grateful people." He would always say that because he wanted to drive it home that we as believers, we as a church, we are a grateful people. And I love that because that's really who we should be, is just gratitude personified. Amen? Because truly, a grateful heart is someone who knows that much has been done for them. They know the magnitude of what's actually been done for them. And therefore, they can live a grateful life. And the Bible has so much to say. We don't even have enough time to cover everything. But thank the Lord for a techie husband. It would have taken me forever to, which normally I will. I'll look it up, and I'll just look it up, and one by one, and get my pens and my papers and everything. But I had the genius idea to ask him, is there some kind of a program or something that can search out Thanksgiving and these words, and I can find, you know, because I kind of knew the direction that the Lord had for us tonight. And he's like, yeah. So did his thing and whatever, and then he's like, here. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And yet I don't know how he did it. Because I would still be right now trying to write out every one of these verses. So anyway, through the power of technology, and there's just so many, and we're not going to keep you here all night, but I did pull out a few that I really feel like would really do us good to hear, and to some of it will be familiar, some of it may be new, but you know, in the Word of God, and this is amazing. We only search this in the New King James. So I suppose if it was in another translation, there may be more, or there may be less. But the first root word that I wanted to search out was the word Thanksgiving. So we searched it out, and 34 amazing scriptures popped up. And so out of those, there, like I said, we don't have time to go through all of them because there's other words that we're gonna look at. But when the Bible talks about Thanksgiving, does your mind and heart, I know mine does, I immediately go to Psalms. When I start thinking about Thanksgiving, I immediately think about Psalms. Because so many of the Psalms that David wrote, so many of them were from a place of gratitude. Yeah, and so he was always talking about that. And so first one, and you can write the reference if you want. If you want to just listen, that's fine, but let it get in your heart. Psalms 26, verse 7 says this, that I may proclaim with the voice, notice that, with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. So the first thing that leaps out at me is this: Thanksgiving has a voice. Amen. Thanksgiving is not just a day in a big fat turkey. Thanksgiving has a voice. And I wasn't talking about a family member either. I was talking about the actual fat bird on your table. You know, some of you, great, you've got to see that turkey again. Thanksgiving has a voice. Did you catch that? David said, oh, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving. Amen. So thanksgiving has a voice. In other words, thanks is not thanks unless it is given. Dad said that Sunday as we were singing and proclaiming, and as he was leading us in praise, that it's not truly thanks until it's given. Hence the word thanksgiving. Right? It's not thanksgiving. It's not thanks, secret. It's thanksgiving. And David says that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving. Amen. So a thankful heart then will have a thankful mouth. Isn't that right? It is true. A thankful heart, the mouth is sure to follow. The Bible tells us that it's what's in the heart is what comes out of our mouth. And you'll recognize a grateful heart, whether it's in yourself or someone else, by what's coming out of our mouth. And so we want to sharpen our ears to make sure that our thanks far outweighs our complaints. Amen? We want to make sure of that. It's a lot easier to pick up, you know, ingratitude or unthankfulness from somebody else. But forget somebody else. I got enough working on me. So, I mean, if that's somebody else's issue, well, you know, too sad, too bad. But I just want to make sure that I'm thankful and that I'm not, you know, I want to make sure that I have a voice of thanksgiving. Amen. Psalms 50 and verse 14 says, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Notice that, offer. So then thanksgiving, it must be offered. We get the picture of someone says, oh, I'd love to offer you something to drink. They're giving you something. I'd love to offer you whatever it is. We have the picture of an actual giving of something. And so that then, that builds the case even stronger that for all my Christian life, I've seen people that will stand there, you know, stiff as a board, a wooden statue, and they'll say, well, I'm praising in my heart. But they won't ever open their mouth. They won't participate. They won't ever, you know, and I get it. You know, some people are more exuberant and some people are more, you know, that's fine, whatever. But the point is this. Praise is not praise until it's given. Thanks is not thanks until it's given. And it's not until praise comes out of our heart and out of our mouth, only then is it truly praise. And so we offer to God thanksgiving. That tells me then that I've got to do something. It's not enough for me just to go around and never be grateful, never say thank you, even for the little things in life. But yet, you know, I tell myself and tell everyone else, well, you know, I'm just quiet, but I'm thankful in my heart. But that goes against Scripture. Because I have to offer to God thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Psalm 69 and 30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. I love that. One of the ways that we magnify God is by being thankful. Amen. Did you ever put the two together? It puts a whole other light on it. You think, well, how can I magnify God? How can I magnify God in my life? How can I be thankful? Be thankful. Live a thankful life each day. We magnify God. It says, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Amen. Another way we could say it is by appreciating. A thankful heart, a thankful person is somebody who appreciates even the small things because they're not small. They recognize that. It's true. I mean, have you ever... It's such a joy. Have you ever had maybe the Lord speak to your heart about giving something to someone or doing something for them? And to you, you thought, gosh, I'd love to do more, but this is all I've got, and okay. And you do it, and when a grateful heart receives it, it's like, it's huge. It's like the best thing ever. And what does that do for the one who gave? All of a sudden, you realize, whoa, my gift just came in contact with true gratitude. And what seems so small to me is so big to them. Wow. And isn't it awful when you've had the opposite experience? When you've given something and you did it from your heart. And not that we look. We don't wait to see. But let's be honest. We look. We hope. We wait. We're human. Why? Because it is a God-given. It's something on the inside of us. Our new born-again nature. There's a grateful nature in there that came when we got born again, and it's almost like that is looking to identify. Gratitude is looking for gratitude to identify, and when it runs up against, oh, okay, cool. You're like, what was that? You know, it's funny. We were talking with some ministers, and you know, they're just tremendous, tremendous givers their whole lives. And we were talking with them some time back, and they were talking about how over time they have seen and dealt with such extremes. Gratitude and ingratitude. And as they've gotten older, and she was telling me, she said, you know, I've just really come to that place where I thought, you know, unless it's something the Lord just says, do this, no matter the response, whatever, do this. She says, I just come to that place where I thought, you know, I would much rather do for those who I know have a grateful heart. Now, you hear that at first, and you think, well, I mean, that's you know in your heart you'd rather do for somebody who has a grateful heart, right? And so she, and it was such a neat thing for this, for me to hear them say that, that you know what, after a while, unless of course, if the, you know, because hey, there are times Jesus knew what Judas was going to do, but he loved him anyway. He knew betrayal was coming, but he gave anyway. So, but then yet there are times too that Jesus only gave, right? Only gave to the one who exercised faith. So there are times then that even in our lives that unless the Lord absolutely said, you know what, just do it, sow it, walk away, I'll take care of it, I'll bless you back, don't worry about it kind of a thing. But our heart wants gratitude in response, right? And so because of that desire, that ought to make us even more make sure that we're giving gratitude. Amen? Amen. So again, one of the ways that, that we magnify the Lord is through gratitude. Psalms 95 and 2 says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Those are like instructions. You know, it's instructions telling us, how do I come? What is the proper way? What's the protocol? You've heard us say, you know, there is such protocol. I've read books and articles and things, and you could ask my mom. She knows so much about it because she's still extremely very British. And so there is such protocol on how to approach the Queen. You do not just walk in and go, sup, to the Queen of England. You don't do that. No. Do you know that before someone is going to make an appearance before the Queen, they are schooled on what to do, on how to do it, body language, what to say, how far to bow, what you do with your hands, what you do with, I mean, all of these things. What are they doing? There's protocol. And you know what? When we read this, I can see that. David is saying, here's how you do it. Let us come before his presence. Here's how you do it. With thanksgiving. That's the protocol. That's the key. He says, let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. So thanksgiving then, thanksgiving paves the way into his company. You want to be in the Lord's company? You want him to spend time with you? Be grateful. Amen. Approach him with a thankful heart. You want to sense his presence daily in your life, even while you're working, just while you're going about your normal everyday life. Even, you know, you want to sense that, knowing that you're close to him and he's close to you, and you wonder, I don't just want to feel him when I'm here, but what about thanksgiving is the key. Amen. Because the very entrance into his presence is paved with thanksgiving. Amen. So we're thankful. Psalms 100 and verse 4 simply says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. And that ties right along with the last one we just read. Thanksgiving opens the door to his presence. The quickest way to get into the presence of God is to start thanking him, is to start putting yourself in remembrance of all he's done for you, is to have a grateful heart and to not treat God, our good father, like we sang. We don't ever want to treat him like that spoiled brat. You know, that wants to take all the good stuff but never returns to say thank you. No, we always come to say thank you. Psalms 107 verse 22 says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works. How do we do this? He even tells us how we're to declare his works. Declare, speak his works with rejoicing. Thanksgiving and rejoicing go hand in hand. Amen. And you know what? I appreciate that this was written because sometimes it feels like a sacrifice to be thankful. I mean, when you're in the midst of a storm, a trial, a test, whatever you want to call it, when your body and symptoms are screaming at you, or when something unexpected or a tragedy has kind of affected you in some way, there are moments where it's hard. It's hard to find that place of thanksgiving, right? Not that it's gone anywhere. It's just that sometimes you have to work harder to get to that place of thanksgiving within you. And that's a sacrifice. And he says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Amen. And declare his works with rejoicing. I love that. We give thanks by declaring what God has done for us. Amen. Amen. By not being stingy and stubborn with the testimonies, with the things that God has done. And you know what's a key to that? Not looking at the things that happen in our life, blessings we call them, not looking at them as small and insignificant. There's no small blessing. There's no small blessing. And a grateful heart will be quick to recognize. We train ourselves to be quick to recognize that, okay, even if, you know, you came in and everyone's fighting for a parking space, and right as you came, someone pulled out, and you're right there, that perfect spot. Give thanks. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Instead of, yep, good luck. It's not luck. No. And there are so many things that happen throughout our day that I know for me, I'm working on it and I need to work on it some more. But I want to endeavor to train myself to recognize even those things that we consider in life so small. And yet I want to look at them as blessings. They're opportunities to say thank you. Amen. So we give thanks by telling what he's done, telling others what he's done. If you're with someone who's not saved and you're about to say, thank you, Jesus, and you go, why'd you do that? Oh, well, they probably wouldn't get it. Oh, okay, so them getting it far exceeds you giving God thanks. If it's a thank you, Jesus, that comes out of your heart, then tell of his wondrous works. Say it. Amen. The company or the crowd you're in should not determine your level of gratitude. The Bible says, tell of his wondrous works. Amen. Psalms 116 and 17 says, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. You know, it's a lot easier to call on the Lord when your mouth has been filled with thanksgiving and not complaining. It's true. It's a lot easier to feel like, it's a lot easier to be able to just run on into God's presence. Something comes up and you know, Lord, and you run for help or you run into him for whatever it is. You know, you just feel more at home when you know you've been thankful. And I mean, let's just be honest. You say, well, we don't go by feelings. Yeah, I know that. But you feel anyway. And it feels a lot better, I should say. It really does, because we know. We know when we've been grateful and when we haven't. And a heart of gratitude just feels at home in God's presence. Amen. Psalms 147 and 7 says, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. You know what just leaps up in me when I read that? Simply is this. Singing was created by God to be a vehicle or a delivery system for thanksgiving. If you notice that, almost every time, David, you go through the Psalms, when he talked about singing, it was for the purpose of giving thanks to the Lord, to praise his name, to tell of his wonderful works, to shout for joy to the Lord, right? So then that lets me know that singing was created. It's a vehicle. It's a delivery system. It's a way in which that we can give thanks to God. Amen. Which is one of the reasons why we have something called praise and worship. What a concept. So that we could perhaps praise and worship. Genius. God must have thunk it up. He did. So good. Which is why, you know, and I know, you know, you sometimes you just say it over and over again, but I just will never understand when, you know, well, let's just say it like this. Praise and worship is not the buffer. It's not that extra, you know, all right, I'm not late if I get there before the message, if I get there right as the message starts. As far as I'm concerned, you're late. Because as a family, we want to be able to give praise and worship to God. Now stuff happens. I know it. You get here. Great. I'm just glad you're here. But you know what I'm saying? We want to put precedence. We want to put a greater precedence on praise and worship. Amen? Because it's a way in which we can give thanks to God. All right, Jeremiah 30 and verse 19 says, "Then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of those who make merry, I will." Listen to what God says he'll do for those who out of their mouths proceed thanksgiving. God says, "I will multiply them. They shall not diminish. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small." Who are those promises? What is God saying? Who is that for? It says, for those who out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them who make merry. So then it's plain. The thankful will be multiplied. The thankful will be glorified. They won't remain small, and they'll never be diminished. All because of thanksgiving. Praise God. Isn't that good? So good. All right, let's try to keep it moving. We have quite a bit more. Philippians 4 and 6, we know this. It says, "Be anxious for nothing." Could preach on that, right? Be anxious for nothing about anything. Don't let anything get you anxious. How do we do this? "In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." In other words, never pray without thanksgiving. Prayer and thanksgiving, they're inseparable. We come into his presence with thanksgiving. He's saying in everything, whatever's going on, don't get anxious about it, but do this about it. Pray. Pray with thanksgiving. Then let your requests be made known. Again, gratitude is a key. Yes, gratitude, a thankful heart, and prayer, they're inseparable. They go together. Amen. Colossians 4 and 2 says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." It's a key component, isn't it? Again, prayer plus thanksgiving. Prayer, thanksgiving. Prayer, thanksgiving. When we think prayer, we need to think giving thanks. Say, well, I'm going to spend some time praying. That translates, I'm going to spend some time giving thanks. And then we'll see where the Holy Spirit leads us from there. But we know that if we want access into the deeper things of God, we know then that thanksgiving paves the way. Amen? Absolutely. Praise God. All right, the next word that we kind of searched out was simply or a phrase, give thanks. There are 152 verses. And bless God, we're going through every one of them. No, I'm kidding. Lock the doors. No. And you will be thankful. No, I'm kidding. Ever had your parents? You're going to eat that and you're going to like it too. Thanks. 152 scriptures. No. We'll just put out some, put it that way. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 50 says, "Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name." Now, this echoes a little bit of what we were saying earlier. He says, "Therefore, I will." So first of all, we know this. I was taught this as a little girl. I've heard my daddy say it many, many, many times. It is an act of our will. When we hear David say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," he's saying, "Soul, you're going to bless the Lord. You're going to be grateful. I will bless the Lord. It's an act of my will. I'm choosing." And so he says, "Therefore, I will. I'll do this. It's an act of my will to give thanks to the Lord." But notice this. "I'll do it among the Gentiles." Remember, we've been taught Gentiles simply means those without Christ. They're not born again yet. Right? So notice where he's saying that he's going to give thanks. He's not just reserving his thanks for when he's at church surrounded by everyone else who sounds like him, because it's safe in here. I mean, nobody looks at you weird if I let a hallelujah slip out. I can just be like, look at the person next to me and go, and they'll think the other person said it, because we all speak this way. But he said, no. He said, "I'm not just saving this for Sunday morning." He said, "I'll give thanks to you, Lord, but I'll do it among the Gentiles. And I'll sing praises to your name." Now, that's bold. Amen? Amen. And a real heart of gratitude, of someone who has a real eye, they can really see the depth of what God's done for them. They recognize where God's brought them from. They recognize the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, the Father made for us through Jesus. You know what? When that is ingrained and in the forefront of your mind, it's easier to be bold, because you're not thinking about yourself. We are at our least boisterous, you want to say, our least, when we're not bold, usually it's because our mind's on us. We're thinking about ourselves. How's this going to make me look? How's it going to make me feel? What will they think about me? Instead of what will they think about the Lord? How's this going to make him look? So we want to make sure that our praise is not just reserved for when we're here in our safe cocoon, but out there we give thanks to. Give thanks. Be bold. 1 Chronicles 16 verse 8 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples." There's three steps. Number one, give thanks to the Lord. After you've done that, go ahead and call upon his name. Ask of him. And then after that, tell about all the good things he's done. Tell how he answered you. And tell it among the peoples. Amen. That goes hand in hand with what we've just read. And you know, when it says make known his deeds among the peoples, I believe those peoples are saved peoples or unsaved peoples. Peoples are peoples, right? So wherever the peoples are is where we ought to be giving thanks, amen, and telling of what he's done. 1 Chronicles 16 and 34 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." Why? And it just simply says, "For he is good. For his mercy endures forever." Amen. If you're stumped and you can't think of anything at the moment as to what to give thanks for, just simply do it because he's good. If that's your starting ground, if you're frustrated with life and there's stuff happening and you're not feeling really thankful and joyful in this, this season of Thanksgiving, so hysterical, this season, so like after tomorrow, everybody can go back to being ungrateful because Thanksgiving's done. Like, wait, I don't get this. It's a season of Thanksgiving. Okay, so we're just, anyway, pet peeve, but we give thanks to the Lord. If you don't know, if you're not feeling real thankful, just simply start at the level because he's good. That's your starting place. And you work your way up from there. The next one is because his mercy endures forever to you. And we're all products We are here because his mercy has endured on our behalf time and time again. Amen. Amen. The Lord's goodness and his forever enduring mercy. You wake up in the morning, you're not feeling real thankful. I pray these words come back to your heart, come back to your mind. Amen. And you just abound with thanksgiving. This is really great. Ezra, you're like, that's in the Bible? You know, yeah, there's a book called Ezra. Ezra 3, verse 11. And this is so neat. It's a really great to read it all, but for time's sake, it says, and they sang responsively. I love that. It is a praise and worship leader's dream to have a whole church sing responsively. You know, it's like to get that one last person who never sings. It's like, ooh, today's the day. Today's the day. Today's not the day. Next Sunday's going to be the day. It's going to be the day. I just know it. I just know it. They're going to sing responsively and praise and worship's going. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, gosh, I thought they were going to raise their hand. They had an itch. Man. Well, I love this. He says, and they sang responsively. Why? Praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good. This is in quotes. This is what they were singing. For he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. And then it says, all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord. Why did they do this? At that moment, they were doing that. It says, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Now, when I read that, I think that is, I love that. You get a picture that they're seeing what God has done for them, and they can't help. Their response is to sing responsively. It's to praise. It's to shout. It's to rejoice. You know what? That should be a picture of you and I. When we look at our lives and we truly see with eyes of gratitude, we see what God has done. You can't help but be responsive. Give praise in return. Amen? Amen. Psalms 30 and verse 4 says, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. That's awesome. Even the thought of God. You're going throughout your day, you're working, you're busy, but just the thought of him crosses your mind. He says, sing praise to the Lord. Give thanks just simply at the remembrance of his holy name. I want to get to that place where I just simply think about him. Just a thought passes my mind and I say, oh, thank you, Jesus. You're so good. You've been so good to me. Thank you, Lord. He just passes my mind and I want just to be a response. Oh, I love you, Lord. Just at the remembrance of him. Amen. Psalm 30 and verse 12 says, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. He's saying, to the very end, may I be the one singing praise and not be silent. Amen. A grateful heart, someone who has an eye to see past the circumstance and see God in the midst of all of these things that try to distract us, but see him in his goodness. How can we be silent, right? We just have to give thanks. Amen. Amen. I love that. All right, a few more. Can you handle it? We got a few more minutes. Psalm 79 and verse 13 says, so we, your people, and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. You want to know what we're supposed to be showing forth to the generation that's coming up behind us and the next, to your kids, to your grandkids? That's exactly what we're supposed to be showing forth. We should be living lives of gratitude. If we haven't been, then we're going to step it up and we're going to be more grateful than we've ever been. Why? Because we want to make sure that we're teaching our children and our grandchildren. Amen. We want to make sure that our lives are being an example of what a grateful heart looks like. And translate that back to what we were saying in the beginning. Even put that even in the very natural sense of things. Teach your children to say thank you. Don't make it an option. It's not optional. You know, these are good things that are being lost on so many in this generation, in this world, this culture, this society is such a thankless society. And it's heartbreaking to see. You know, it's heartbreaking to go to places and you see some of, you know, the kids and teenagers, and bless their heart, you know, they're just simply a product of what they've been raised, how they've been raised. And you're not, they're not even going to look at you, let alone say thank you. And it breaks my heart. It's like, duh, you just want to take them and, oh, let me just retrain you. Because life is so much better when you're grateful. Amen. It's hard when you're ungrateful. It is. It just is. So we want to make sure that we're showing forth his praise to all generations. Psalm 92 and 1 says, it's a psalm that says, a song for the Sabbath day. And it simply says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. We used to sing that song. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises, right? I love that. Simply, what speaks to me is that giving thanks is never wrong. It's always good. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. There's never a wrong time to praise. You're never wrong to thank him. Amen. It's simply good. All right, now these three kind of go together. First one, Matthew 15 and 36. Says, and we're talking about Jesus. It says, and he took the seven loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them, gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. Mark 8 and 6 says, so he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. He took the seven loaves and gave thanks, broke them, gave them to his disciples, set before them, and they set before the multitude. Then Acts 27 and 35 says, and when he had said these things, and this is another reference to another story, when he said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. All right, Jesus is our ultimate example, right? And Jesus, our example, Jesus himself gave thanks. If Jesus himself, if it was important enough for Jesus himself to make sure that he was giving thanks to the Father, to make sure that he's taking that time to do that, then you know what? How much more important is it for us? If Jesus, our example, gives thanks, how much more you and I? Amen? Amen. Even these simple things, even being grateful. You know, I mean, it's amazing. Have you ever I had this happen recently. We were somewhere and I looked across the restaurant and there was a couple, a man and a woman, and they grabbed hands and they were praying for their food. Oh, it's like, wow, because you just don't see that. You don't really see that anymore. I mean, you know, there are even, you know, secret undercover Christians who do that. Thank you, Jesus. You know. Yeah, whatever that is, secret undercover Christians. I don't even know. Is that even real? I don't know. Are you a secret undercover Christian? Do you pray silently? Are you ashamed to say thank you? No, I'm kidding. If so, call. No. You need help. No. But it's so great, right, when you see that outward expression. What are they doing? They're simply giving thanks. They're giving thanks. Amen. And so much of that is lost in our world today. If you have the opportunity that you still have a meal with your family once or twice a week at least, used to be a nightly thing. I know my daddy grew up, right? It was every night you were home by dinner and the family sat around. Well, that's rare a lot of times nowadays. But if you do have that chance, train them. Stop. Make everybody stop. And let it be known, we're going to thank God. We're thanking God for this. Hey, man, Jesus did it. How much more? All right. Can you handle three more? We'll go fast. 7:57. We'll go super fast. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God." Why? "Who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who has already ensured our victory, we ought to give him thanks." Amen? Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5 and 20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. You know, we said it in the beginning, a thankful, grateful person, they can overcome anything. They can overcome anything. Why? Well, you may not be thankful for everything, but you can be thankful in everything. Amen. Absolutely. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything, give thanks." Why? "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." You want to know how to be in God's will? Be a thankful person. You want to know, what is it like? I just want to know I'm in his will. Then have a grateful heart and a grateful mouth. You may not be thankful for what's happening. Maybe it's not from God. You're in a fight of faith. But in the midst of that fight of faith, you can be thankful in it. You're not saying, "Lord, I thank you for this horrible trial." No, because we've learned. We know better. Amen. Only good comes from him. But in the midst of any situation, we are rooted and grounded in Christ enough that no matter what's going on, we ought to be able to squeeze out a thanks and a praise. Amen. Absolutely. A thankful heart sees life differently. Amen. It really does. A thankful heart will see life differently. And the very last one is Colossians 3 and 15. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body." And, it's not done yet, he said, "and be thankful." Be thankful. A thankful heart is a peaceful heart. It is. A thankful person is a peaceful person. So you know what that tells me? Whenever you feel like you're lacking in peace, if you feel agitated, stressed, you're not feeling real peaceful, and people around you are not thinking you're peaceful either, you need to begin to give God thanks. You need to begin to take your eyes off you, take your eyes off your feelings, take your eyes off the situation. Absolutely. And you need to start remembering and rehearsing all that God has done for you. Amen. And when we turn our minds on him, and our hearts are filled with peace. Amen. He says, "And let the peace of God," there's a connection between peace and thankfulness. "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." Amen. So simple, isn't it? So simple and so good, and yet it's right where we live every day. Amen. So I hope you're thankful for the word tonight. Amen. We are thankful for the word. Amen. Brother Hagin always talked about the word being a never-failing remedy. Amen. So whatever goes on in our life, the word is always the answer, so we're thankful for that. Amen. Well, how about you lift your hands up right where you're at? Father, we want to say thank you. Lord, we lift our hands up in praise. Father, we just lift our hearts towards you and our minds towards you. And Father, we're thankful for your word. And Lord, we have had ears to hear. Your word instructs us. So Father, we take heed and we choose to be more thankful than we've ever been. We choose And Father, we just ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. He's our guide. He walks with us daily through life. Holy Spirit, help us to recognize the times when we're not thankful so that we can then turn and become. We can immediately exchange that unthankfulness for thankfulness. We can immediately put a new response in that situation. And Father, I just thank you that, Lord, let the day come, Lord, where we, your people, we're known as grateful people.